chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. This is the word of the Lord. So when they have come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. The book of Acts begins as a new Exodus. This new Exodus was foretold at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, that we might worship him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." How is this a foretelling of the new Exodus? We hear these words echoes of the first Exodus. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. "And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped." The first Exodus began with the Lord's visiting his people. And it ended with the people worshipping him. And so also the new Exodus. It begins with the Lord's visiting his people, and it will end with his people worshiping him. This is one reason why the Gospel of Luke ends with worship. It ends with the worship of Christ, because the new Exodus has been fulfilled in Christ. It has been fulfilled in his death and resurrection. Luke chapter 9, verse 30, the Mount of Transfiguration. Behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The new exodus was fulfilled in his death and resurrection. By his death, he delivered us from the hand of our enemies. By his resurrection, we may worship him without fear. And so, as the first exodus ended in worship, so the new exodus ends in the same. Luke chapter 24, verse 51. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him. Now the book of Acts begins where the Gospel of Luke ends. But before the story progresses, the ending of Luke is expanded at the beginning of Acts. At the end of Luke, the ascension of Christ into heaven is presented as occurring on the same day of his resurrection. But at the beginning of Acts, we read of what happened during the period between his resurrection and ascension. For 40 days, Jesus appeared to the apostles, giving them commands, showing them his body, and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And in this too, we see the new exodus. For what happened in the first exodus? What happened after the people were brought out of Egypt? What happened after they had passed through the Red Sea? They came at last to Mount Sinai, where Moses ascended the mountain 40 days, where the Lord appeared to his people, where he gave them commands, where he showed them his body, that is, his dwelling place, and where he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. More than this, Moses and Aaron, his sons and the elders of the people, ascended that mountain and beheld the Lord and ate and drank before him. Exodus chapter 24, verse 11. They beheld God and ate and drank. And so it should not surprise us to read in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, in this new exodus, that Christ ate with the apostles. As in that exodus of old, so here in the new exodus, the apostles in Christ beheld God and ate and drank before him. That time was drawing to an end. He was about to part from them, that he might send the Spirit to them. by the Spirit, they would be his witnesses to the end of the earth. Now, last Lord's Day, we said that the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost will resemble the coming of the Lord upon the mountain of Sinai. In both is heard a sound from heaven. In both the Lord appears in wind and fire. But this coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it will not only resemble the Lord's descent upon Mount Sinai, will resemble something else as well. Something else that happened at Sinai. What was it that Moses received on the mountain? He received commandments, but not only commandments. He also received instructions. Instructions for what? Instructions for the building of the tabernacle. And what was the purpose of the tabernacle? The purpose of the tabernacle was this: to be the dwelling place of God in the midst of his people. And that is what it became. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night. In the same way that the Lord descended upon Sinai, in cloud and fire, in the same way he descended upon the tabernacle. The cloud and fire resting upon the tabernacle was nothing less than the glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle. What then are we to understand by the Spirit's resting upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost? What are we to understand by the Spirit's resting upon the apostles in wind and fire? What are we to understand but that the glory of the Lord has filled the apostles? That the church now is his dwelling place in our midst. The tabernacle of the first Exodus. It is the church and the new Exodus. This is why the book of Acts is the story of the church. It's not simply a story of the Gospels being proclaimed to the ends of the earth. It is the story of the church. Because the apostles will not only carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, they will carry Christ to the ends of the earth.
and not only in their message about him.
Not only bring a message about Christ, they bring the presence of Christ. For his spirit rests upon them. His glory dwells within them. Tabernacle of the first Exodus becomes the church of the new Exodus. Now, there is another similarity between Acts chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 24. In both, we find that the people of God gaze into heaven. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 10, we read not only that Moses and Aaron, sons and the elders of Israel, saw the God of Israel. We read there also that there was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. The priests and the elders, they did not only behold God. They beheld heaven. We are not only to understand that God descended to earth to rest upon that mountain. We are also to understand that they ascended to heaven as they climbed the mountain. At Sinai, it was as though the top of the mountain for that moment in history reached into the very heavens. From where the priests and the elders stood on that mountain, they could gaze into heaven. Could see the Lord in heaven. In a similar way, in Acts chapter 1, in the ascension of Christ into heaven, as he was lifted up from them, they gazed into heaven. They beheld Christ in heaven. But as the vision on Sinai did not last forever, so also their gazing into heaven did not last forever. Their gaze was interrupted. And as we have said before, the apostles are not to be mocked for having gazed into heaven or for having prolonged their gaze into heaven. For in doing this, they were doing the very thing Christ had told them to do. If you remember Luke chapter 21, what Christ said there.
Luke chapter 21, verse 27.
And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now Luke's gospel is the only one that speaks of the Son of Man coming in a cloud. The other gospels speak of his coming in the clouds. The word translated as coming can also mean going. What then do the apostles see in Acts chapter 1? What do they see in the ascension of Christ? They see the Son of Man going on a cloud with power and great glory. What else then were they to do but straighten up and raise their heads as their redemption drew near? They did not yet understand that redemption was still to come, that the kingdom would be restored only after Christ came from heaven in the same way that they saw him go into heaven, when he comes again in a cloud with power and great glory. The two angels made clear to the apostles on that day what Jesus himself had before said in a parable. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. A nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. And so it is in Acts chapter 1 that Christ ascends into the far country of heaven to receive for himself from the Father the kingdom of heaven, and then to return. We may then understand the life of the church in this world. Between the ascension of Christ into heaven and his coming again on the last day, we may understand the life of the church in this world as the time of Israel's wandering in the wilderness, the time between Sinai when they saw the Lord in heaven and their entrance into the land of promise, when the temple was at last complete. Just as Israel did not wander without the presence of God in their midst, so the church does not wander in this world without the presence of Christ in her midst. For his Spirit rests upon the church.
Spirit rests upon us as a cloud by day and a fire by night. And by this Spirit, the church bears witness to Christ, to who he is, and to where he is. This is one reason why the ministry of the church is not only the ministry of the word. Ministry of the church is the ministry of word and sacrament. Why is this? What were the apostles witnesses of? Yes, they were witnesses of Christ. But in what way? They were witnesses of the suffering. They were witnesses of his death. They were witnesses of his resurrection. They were witnesses of his ascension into heaven. But in all these things, what was it they saw? What was it what they touched? His body. Body in which he suffered. Body in which he died. The body in which he was raised. The body in which he has ascended into heaven. Was for this reason that he presented his body to them as alive. That they might be witnesses of him. That they might be witnesses of his body. So the church bears witness to him not only by the preaching of his word, but also by the administration of his sacraments. The breaking of the bread. The body of Christ is made known. The breaking of the bread. Crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended body of Christ is made known. Is this not why Paul said, as often as you eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes? In the breaking of bread, the church bears witness not only to what Christ has done, but also to where Christ
Christ is. The breaking of bread, he is made present to us. And we are brought near to him. And so to declare the bread to be his body is not only to declare that he is in our midst. To declare the bread his body is to declare that we are gazing into heaven. As we behold his body in the breaking of the bread, we behold him where his body is. We gaze into heaven. This is why the apostles were not to stand there gazing into heaven forever. But by their witness, we might gaze into heaven with them. We do not yet gaze into heaven as they did. Soon we will, when he comes again. But even before he comes, and until he comes, and beholding the bread, is the same heaven into which we gaze as they gazed. It is the same Christ that we behold as they beheld. For his body is one. Let us then worship him without fear. Let's worship him without fear of the enemy. Let us worship him without fear of death. Let us bring his gospel to the ends of the earth. Let us bring him to the ends of the earth. Therefore, let us eat the bread and drink the cup. And so proclaim his death until he comes. When at last we shall see him as he is. Amen. Let us pray.